Grandkids, welcome to another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio. This is Kevin, and with me is the new Mr. Baseball, Dusty Giebing. How are you doing, Dusty?
Hey, my team is about 500 and can't beat the Mariners, so, you know, hey, about as well as can be expected, huh?
They can't beat the Mariners. Why did I always assume that?
You would think they'd fucking kill him every time, and they have a losing record against him this season. Dumps.
Yeah, why did I always assume that Milwaukee was your team?
Because I'm from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I really hate the local team nonsense. It's just always struck me as something I'm just not into. So,
gotcha.
A's and Clippers and, yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. See, now, I did go local, and I am happy that my team is close to 500.
Yeah, sure. I gotcha. Well, it's huge, actually, for that team.
Yeah, I think so long as they actually, they were up 7-1, as long as they didn't blow that lead, they would be at 15-16,
yep.
Which, hey, they literally have, the Pirates have not done that since the year that I got my license was the last year they were over 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Tying this together here while we're talking about baseball, I'm kind of a pinch hitter here because this was originally supposed to be Jeremy, but Jeremy struck out before he got to the batter's box. What happened there?
Yeah, that knucklehead. Because we almost did it yesterday. We're like, I was like, you know what, dude? No matter who does it, it's like always seems to be about Raw.
Yeah.
So it's like if we're gonna do a show, we may as well try and do one. We may as well try and do it on Tuesday.
Sure.
Well, I end up having to stay a little bit late at work, and then having to go to Target. And I figured that he'd want to watch his boys on TV tonight. So I'm like, oh, he's not, because the Detroit Red Wings are playing tonight.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, whatever. He'll want to do one Tuesday. Well, he ends up kind of like, nah, don't worry about it. We'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, so that's even a little further backstory. And then, dummy, like 4 o'clock, he hasn't said anything to me. I hit him up like, oh yeah, like so. What do you want to talk about, Tony? He goes, oh, dude, I've got to leave like now. I've got to go to the dentist.
Oh my God!
He goes, I completely forgot that I had to go, and I don't know what he had done exactly, but they numbed his whole mouth.
Oh my God! Yeah, I speculated earlier that he had all his teeth removed in favor of the George Washington look. That has not been proven yet, but.
Yeah, that may have been what they did today.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sure. So he was unsure if he'd even be able to talk well enough tonight.
Wow, that is amazing. And he is an incredible dumbass. So, wow.
Yeah, no, that's kind of a big one to forget about. Like, if
yeah, it is.
If you're having oral surgery when you think you're going to do something with your mouth, that's kind of a big oversight.
Well, so everyone's stuck with me then. And
Again,
real quick here, before we get into wrestling, do you want to, let's just acknowledge that Osama was found and killed. So that is our coverage of national politics. There you go.
Yeah, and, considering that that is what opened up the show for Raw, I see that is a perfectly fine spot to start at, honestly.
Exactly.
The only amusing observation that I had about their beginning is my buddy Sean was over here for most, if not all, of Raw. And he goes, hey, did you notice they didn't use any clips of Obama?
Yeah. Yes. The guy who actually did it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got the mention from The Rock later. I don't know if that is quite the equal of the opening segment there, but,
I read somewhere that we had Osama under watch every day during Clinton's presidency, and then we found him and killed him during Obama's presidency. It's almost like Bush was a bad president or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Yep, well, considering that we wanted to keep our political coverage to a minimum, I guess, were you like me in that you were, I guess I was just a little bit surprised, I guess, that they were going to do something like that. Like, it's not surprising because everything that they do for the troops.
Yeah.
And they do go very patriotic often.
Yeah, it seems like Vince McMahon's natural instinct is to go patriotic, you know? So, I don't know, it was kind of padding on the show, though, you know? I mean, the show went about 20 minutes over the hour, so, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it definitely... And that was my, for a change, definitely live and half-assed blog. it really, that, between that and how long that the rest of the opening segment was.
Yes, exactly.
It really made, and the end segment was really long.
Yep.
And it made the rest of the show choppy as all shit.
Yeah. There barely anything happened in the middle. There were only like two matches or something, and one, well, three matches and a segment, basically, right?
Yeah, it was something like that, but it just felt like it was, because it was, we have the opening, and then it's R-Truth attacks Morrison. After that commercial break, and then they go to another commercial right after that.
Yes,
it's like,
exactly. So now we're almost halfway through the show. Almost nothing has happened in the ring. You know?
Yeah. Because, and I guess, because when I was talking to Sean initially, I'm like, holy crap, this opening segment went like 25, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep.
Like, 10 of it was the patriotic opening. And, like, I literally just started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? That opening wasn't any longer than normal.
No.
The Rock segment itself was not any longer than normal, really.
Like I said, it just seemed like padding with the patriotism. Don't get me wrong, people. I'm not bashing patriotism, okay? It just seemed weird on a wrestling show, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's why it might have been part of my reason for something of a bit of surprise. Like, you know, it just, like, they do the rock the vote, and, like, they do other things, but that, you know, with the, it kind of stays out of that realm, I guess, it seems, to me.
Well, so let's dig into, I guess, let's just talk about the rock segments here, since they were the bookends and took up, man, would you say about 45 minutes of the show, probably, something like that?
Especially with the ending there, because that opening segment was about 20 minutes, and that end segment was like 10 to 15.
The end segment was the entire overrun, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Because that was another one where I was like, "Holy crap! Are they gonna have a match at 11 o'clock? Are you
I
fucking
know,
kidding me?"
exactly.
because I think that was that Kane match. I was just like, "Oh yeah,
Oh,
Mason
I forgot
Ryan
about the
and
Kane match. Kane
Kane."
against Mason Ryan took about a minute. Yeah. Forgot about that.
Okay. Anywho, we're bouncing around just making fun of how the show ended up laying out.
Look, can we agree, though, that it was awkwardly laid out? A little bit
Oh yeah.
strange. Yeah, okay. All right. Moving along.
Yeah, because you know, I said to Jeremy, I was like, "Man, I just really felt like that my blog last night was complete shit." And he goes, "The show was complete shit." I was like, "Yeah, no, I think you're right."
It was like there was no semblance of order, you know? No real pacing or sense of, you know, like every show kind of feels the same for a reason, you know? They found a format that works for them, and this was totally off of that. I can definitely see where it would have made writing harder.
Yeah, because there's normally like, you know, you have another segment that you can kind of depend on. Like, you're like, "Oh, okay, they're clearly trying to push this." But because of the way everything ended up laying out, it ruined being able to emphasize everything. It was like all of the other segments outside of the Rock segments, well, and the Cena Miz match. That was another one that did get a good chunk of time. But literally, those three things probably chewed up about half the show.
Yeah, if not a little more. Do you think it's wise to give Rock so much TV time when he's not doing house shows? He's not going to be wrestling pay-per-views until WrestleMania. You know, wouldn't you want to give more TV time to the people selling tickets?
One would think, but I don't know if they were just trying to get a cheap ratings pop for whatever reason. Like,
No, you're right. They had all celebrities up the ass making appearances on the show.
You almost would have thought that if you're going to do something like that, if you're going to try to go for cheap ratings pop and you're going to have that many celebrities on, why wouldn't you? You might not want to say who the celebrities are, I guess, in particular. But maybe you at least want to say a couple of them. But say that celebrities are going to be on, like, they said, "Help us celebrate The Rock's birthday."
Celebrities including and then say one of them or something. As a teaser. And then people will be like, well, I gotta see what he's gonna do. And who else is there? And yeah, not advertising something you're spending money on is stupid. It's just plain stupid.
Yeah, that definitely would have helped the programming out. Just say like, and shit, I had forgotten that Samuel Jackson starred or was with him in The Other Guys. Like him and The Rock were the badass cops.
Oh hell yeah, that's right.
I did not see that movie, but I forget if it was Powell or somebody else mentioned it. I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, gosh, pimp one of the bigger names, and go from there.
One of the bigger name celebrities.
One of the bigger name celebrities, and Samuel L. Jackson is a pretty big one. Steve Carell.
Steve Carell was who I was going to say. Yeah, I mean, you know, for almost 10 years now, Michael Scott has been maybe the best character on television. So.
Yeah, he has certainly had his moments. And then what, because which one, because they actually had, didn't he, was he in that one, the spy movie with Steve Carell?
Yeah, yep.
I can't think of, Get Smart.
I didn't see it, yeah, Get Smart, that's it.
Yeah, okay, no, I'm horrendous with my movie viewing, so the fact that I can name it. Any of these movies with The Rock in it is quite amazing to me, and I don't have IMDb pulled up.
Right. Three Ninjas at Mega Mountain, or no, that was Hogan. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, the Race to the Top of Witch Mountain.
That's it. Boy, wrestlers sure like mountain movies, don't they?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, they do. Well, and speaking of this wrestler, I would take it that you are not up for having him take up so much time.
Weird. Like I said, I don't know how to describe it. It just felt so weird, you know, for a number of reasons. And one is that he's not selling tickets. He's a sporadic appearance guy, you know?
Yeah, and the whole selling tickets thing, like, and that was another thing I was talking to Sean about it, like, even now, like, you can tell that even when they say they sold out an arena, it's not the same as, like, back when The Rock was going, like, they were literally selling out arenas at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I went to Cleveland or anything, when I first moved down here to Columbus, like, it was a sold-out show, period, end of sentence. Now it's like, oh, yeah, sold out, 12,000 people were here for SmackDown or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, Nationwide seats, like, 17,000, so we're about a good 4,000 short here, kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to buy a ticket on the assumption that maybe he might, unless that's their only line of thinking, is they're like, well, maybe he might come, so maybe we'll sell a couple extra tickets.
Yeah, okay.
Because they have, but I don't know, that's still not very good incentive, like the sort of maybe something, like, I mean, you're right, like, the main time is going to be around WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when he'll appear every week. Mm-hmm.
And nobody right now has any idea if they're going to be able to get those those tickets. Like, shit, they could be here in Columbus next year for all I know when he's doing that.
Yeah, sure. Because,
I mean, They had the one right before. I mean, if they go on, but it doesn't seem like it's the same time every year when they stop here for their taping.
No.
And it seems like SmackDown is more popular here than Raw for whatever reason. Like, Pittsburgh seems to get a lot of Raws, and then Pittsburgh and Cleveland get the Raws, and for whatever reason, because we're a second-rate city or something,
Yeah, same thing with Green Bay gets SmackDown and Milwaukee gets Raw. Almost.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yep. So I am definitely feeling you, dog. On the the city thing. I would rather go to Green Bay because there's a much less likely chance that I would be shot. But that's just me. I'm silly that way. So.
Yeah, no, that's kind of an important one.
Yeah.
I just need to watch out for getting arrested for jaywalking like Shad. Outside of that, I'm good to go.
Yeah. Did I say, I probably did say, but I'll say it again. When I was in Seattle on vacation one year, we were jaywalking, and there was a homeless veteran we jaywalked in front of, and he said he went to Vietnam for our right to jaywalk. So that was pretty
outstanding.
Yep. I gave him $1 for that one. He earned it. But anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, talking about the homeless people who think that they're veterans, what do you think about the R-Truth's turn to heel here?
Can I filibuster with another story? We live three houses down from a dead end, and at the end of the dead end is a walking trail, and we use it to take the dogs out on a walk or whatever. And off of the walking trail is this, like, path, and if you go down the path a ways, there's a clear place where homeless people live, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious signs of life, but you never see people there during the day. And, the homeless people, you'd think that if you were homeless, any money you have would be very valuable to you, and you would either keep it to try to build up enough to make something out of it, or to just spend it on essentials. But these particular homeless people don't go by that philosophy and buy packs of cigarettes with their money. So, speaking of R-Truth and homelessness, I can tie it together once again with cigarettes. So.
Outstanding. Well,
so, what do I think of R-Truth? Nothing. There we go.
Okie dokie, rock and roll. Well, then I think we can move on because that segment was given no time, and both guys are kind of in the same spot. Like,
yeah.
if they want to do something, they need the win in this feud, and that's about that for that one, honestly.
The Torch is really excited about R-Truth. John Mazzara gave it a thumbs up. Caldwell said it was good. I don't really care. One way
yeah.
or the other. Yeah.
It exactly. Like, it's a, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, someone else who doesn't look homeless, or maybe could, Karma, showing
yeah.
up on Raw here this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is she actually not attacking baby faces on purpose? Or is this leading up to something else?
Mind games with baby faces and violence against heels. Got to be going somewhere with it. Maybe they're aiming for tweener. Out of her Austin-esque kick-ass tweener would be a pretty good way to use her.
Yeah, it would be nice, but they still need to do something about the women's division, really, just in general.
Yeah. Yeah, pushing Gail Kim would help.
Yeah, well, and I don't even think it's doing that would definitely help. Especially, is she still on Raw?
I don't fucking know. Don't ask me that.
I don't think she got moved with Daniel Bryan.
46% of the fucking roster got moved. How can you keep track of anything? That's what I'm complaining.
It is a lot, but well, considering I did a show on it and wrote an article about it and watched the Raw that had the draft, like I feel like I should know who was moved. I think she's still on there, so yeah, she'd be good. And you know what? I kind of forgot that Eve is kind of all the women, outside of who's Meduzzi, Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
Eve is probably the closest in size, although she is quite a bit smaller than Awesome Kong, Karma.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Got some junk in the trunk, though, which I appreciate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of did a good job of shitting on her all through WrestleMania and post-WrestleMania, even when she got a win, like you forgot about the instant Michael Cole started bitching about he was going to the back, I think, to get ready for his match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to have someone come in and destroy people,
yes.
I don't care if she pulls off the greatest Steve Austin impression ever in the women's division.
Yeah.
If you don't have anybody that is of any relevance, it's not going to do you a lick of good.
Yeah, Austin had Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, Kane, The Rock, et cetera, et cetera. She's got the Bella Twins. Yeah.
And, Gail Kim is one, Beth Phoenix is the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even before her retirement, I would have said at least in the ring or whatever Michelle McCool is doing right now.
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever she's doing, like in ring at least, I think she would have been a fun matchup with Kong, because she at least has the height to, even though she's a fucking pole figure. She's what?
Some of these women are going to look like they're half of Kong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, honestly, like, to start with, there's only probably three matches that you, maybe four with Eve there, that you can go to in that division anyway.
Right.
And when none of the other four matches, or four possible opponents are even worth worrying about, then...
Right.
I
wonder what it's like to be a woman in the women's division. If you're not figured in at the time, you're doing nothing, you know? Because they seem to only have one slot at a time.
Yeah, no, it's champion and challenger. And then it's like, okay, since they can't fight every week, here's a random tag team match for you this
week. Yeah, exactly. Really weird.
Yeah. Yep. You've almost got to be laughing at how much, I don't know how much they get paid, but they don't really do anything, and they don't beat their bodies up that much.
No.
Like, if they're making a decent paycheck at all, like, they've really got to be loving life, honestly.
See, this is why I thought Jillian Hall was so awesome. She did even less than the rest of them and lasted longer than most of them. How great was that?
She did pull it off for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a good male example. Did she leave on her own because she was pregnant? Or did they actually can her?
I think they fired her.
Okay, yeah, no, I think they canned her before that all went down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I was trying to think of a good male equivalent, but I really can't do that right now.
No, there kind of isn't. It's easier to get away with if you're female, you know?
Yeah, there were a couple of guys for a while there, and I think our favorite pal, Bob Hawley, might have been one of them. It's like, this dude hasn't done anything. Like, why is he still around?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, getting off of Bob Hawley and what's her name? Yeah, I don't know. Anything else for Karma there? Karma Chameleon?
No, not really. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. And it would have been a whole lot nicer if they had better opponents for her, but whatever. Can't do much about it.
The next was that fun segment where we have the fake movie, the even faker talk, and then Santino comes out with everyone dressed as one of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that I had to explain who Ron Simmons was to my friend Sean. I was like, dude, you know all about sports. Like, I can't believe you didn't know that this guy played at Florida State.
Oh, wow.
And was actually really good.
Yeah, he was a standout, right?
Yeah, I think he figured into the Heisman voting somewhere.
Yes, yes, he did.
You know, hey, if you're getting your name on that ballot, you've got to be pretty good.
Yeah. Especially as a defensive player. Isn't that, like, pretty rare?
Well, in the 80s, it still happened every now and again.
Yeah.
Because I think Hugh Green for Pitt actually was the last defensive player to finish second, I think, and that was in, like, 85 or something.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, I think Simmons did it in, like, 80 or, you know, a slightly earlier time frame.
Sure. Okay. But, yeah, he was a very good college football player and a great athlete throughout his whole career. If you follow sports at all, you should probably know who he is.
Yeah, and he watched, you know, like when most of us watched our childhood, and then he watched a little bit during the Attitude Era. So
okay.
It's like, yeah, no, he was in both of those time frames, dudes. Like,
yeah, exactly. Was the leader of a group during the Attitude Era.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is where I was like, this is where The Rock started.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what else to tell you, dude. Like, there is a lot to go with Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I always enjoy his damn segment, or his damn thing.
Yeah. It's one of those things where you know it's coming, but it's still pretty funny.
They had definitely waited long enough. Like, whatever. They trot him out, like, twice a year now or something. That's fine.
Exactly.
It'll still be funny to me.
Used to be once a week, and now it's a couple times a year, so it's perfect.
Yep. Oh, yeah, and then we did. We went to The Miz versus John Cena.
Yep. Yep, the other thing that got any time on the show.
How did you feel about the quality of the match?
For a TV match, really good. TV matches should be held to a different standard than pay-per-view matches. So for the TV scale, yeah, I liked it.
Do you feel like it helped out The Miz as much as I did?
Yeah, kind of, sure. I'll agree with that. I was more marveling at the anti-Cena movement. been thinking about that, but now that you put me on the spot, yeah, sure.
Cool. Well, the
make me have opinions on things. Why don't you?
What the hell else am I taping right now? Oh, what? The last 3 minutes of Justified. Sorry, my DVR flipped off because Justified is finishing up these last 3 minutes. I was trying to watch the hockey game and I was confused.
Mm-hmm.
In the Ultimate Fighter, I'm taping the second showing of it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to watch it as soon as we hang up on each other. So, looking forward to that.
Outstanding. Okay. Well, since this match helped the Miz a little bit, what were you? What did you want to make a point about the anti-Cena movement?
No, just that it's getting more and more noticeable. Almost exactly Shawn Michaels from 1996. It's just every guy in the arena hates you kind of thing, you know? Getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely picking up some steam. Like, it kind of was a steady thing, and then what would you say, maybe the last 2 years or something?
Yeah, definitely. I don't remember who of you said it during the WrestleMania audios. Might have been you or Jeremy, or maybe both. That it's kind of funny that these same people booing him are the ones wearing his fucking shirts. But, so I'm really confused by the whole thing. The last time I went to a show, it was the same thing.
Oh, okay.
This motherfucker who just bought a Cena shirt is booing him. What the fuck, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if at least more of the guys are, I don't know if you want to say, if I want to say it this way, but in on it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're... they're fine with buying his merch because they do appreciate him, but they don't want to be too much of a pansy, so they boo him.
Gotcha.
I don't know, but that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense, honestly. It's like, I don't get it.
But, if we're going to go to WrestleMania in Miami against The Rock, I mean, we might be choking down a heel turn pretty soon for him.
I would really love that. But I keep on asking for it, and it keeps on not coming, so I'm not really holding my breath.
Well, the thing that frustrates me is, again, I said this before, it's like repeat season whenever I'm on, but, I mean, you know, if it still holds true, I'll keep saying it. He seems more comfortable as a heel. He's been a face for 1,000 years now, and you can compare his two bodies of work, and he just seems more comfortable as a heel. I don't know, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I think it would completely change his promo style, which...
Yes, which makes it.
Yeah, like, it would not be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not just pull the trigger? I mean, The Rock is definitely going to be the babyface because the kids and the women will like him also.
Yep. He is one of the guys that could machine gun the front row, and everybody else would go ballistic. Yeah, get those motherfuckers. All right, you know. Especially at this point in his career.
Wow, and especially after that ending.
Yeah.
Because was it just me, or did Vince spring that segment on The Rock?
You think it was improv?
I don't know about improv. Like, they knew that they, like, Vince McMahon knew he was going to air the segment, but The Rock didn't.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't, like, any new material or anything like that.
Right.
So, it wasn't like we were seeing a different side of The Rock. It was just, like, a nice little history of The Rock.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And The Rock really seemed to appreciate it from his reaction. You know, like he was touched by it. So
yeah, no, he was holding back the tears, I thought.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, interesting. I'm glad they resisted the urge to make some huge angle out of it.
Excuse me. Oh.
Cena comes out, you know?
Yeah, or even Vince McMahon decides to turn on The Rock.
Yeah, I was expecting it. Yep.
Oh, man.
Glad it didn't happen.
But, well, that was the end segment. There are a couple other little segments in between here still that and, like, the one segment was the, hey, we're all new to Raw segment, which...
Right, yeah.
You know, whatever. That was what it was, honestly. There was the Mae Young segment.
Nope.
Okay, you know, Rock and Mae Young get, you know, always have a good time. Let's do it. And then the one segment that it was another segment worth talking about, we mentioned it earlier, was the Mason Ryan versus Kane segment.
Which had to be less than 2 minutes. It felt like it was under a minute. It existed. One thing that I missed about Jim Ross is he will basically flat out tell you, hey, kids, this match is going to suck. And he did that with this match. So that's one of the great things about Jim Ross. That definitely has to be stated there. Like if he says, yeah, this is going to be bowling shoe ugly or this won't be a classic or whatever, yeah. You need a little bit of honesty with your fans.
Yeah, it wasn't. But do you think that that was star-making or at least star-beginning for
Beginning.
Mr. Ryan?
It certainly was not star-making because it's just a thing that happened at this point unless they follow up on it. But beginning, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it just, to me, it's one of those ones that smells like, hey, we don't have that big, muscly guy on our roster.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
The last, Kozlov failed to fill that spot in.
Yeah.
And, then they brought in, Zeke. And.
Right.
He's kind of lurching. Like, I did read the SmackDown spoilers, so it sounds like something's going on there.
Okay.
But it's still not much anything.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just like, okay, next batter up on the big muscly guy.
Well, and they will keep throwing batters out there until the end of time, too. So,
okey-dokey.
Mason Ryan, you are on watch. If you don't do well, you will be replaced.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just making sure that it wasn't just me.
No. And if Batista suddenly becomes available, it might be sooner than later. So.
Yep. Well, okay. I don't know.
That was Raw, and it gets a thumbs down from Dusty.
Yeah, that really was about it. And
yeah, it was. Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah. Well, I think. Do you want to? Was there anything else of small interest there that you'd want to do? I think we're about 50 minutes or something here.
All right, well, I'll spend a few minutes on Tough Enough. You haven't had a chance to see it yet, right?
Right. My problem was is because Sean is from Boston, we were watching the Bruins game, so I'm like,
sure.
My logic was, hey, I'll tape the late showing since it's after Raw, and it'll be no big deal.
And it was last week?
Yeah, and it was last week.
Oh.
So I was like, oh. I was like, what? Hold on. Rima's back? Shit. Oh, you sons of bitches.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but if there is one part that I will speak of, but go ahead and, you know, you're the one that actually witnessed it. So
I saw it, and I just literally just watched it again before the show so I could, you know, kind of take mental notes of what I wanted to say about it. Can I give the spoilers, or do you want me to speak in vague terms?
No. I read a review of it.
Okay.
Because I knew I wouldn't be able to get around it.
Oh, sure. The first thing I want to point out is that these 5 weeks have been fantastic as a showcase for Steve Austin. Man, I forgot how much I loved him, you know? He's just fucking the man. So that has to be pointed out. Loved his interaction with Luke. Spoiler alert, Luke was in the bottom three, and Austin was all dipshit. Do you like when I call you dipshit? No, huh, dipshit? Well, what are you going to do about it, dipshit? Nothing, right, dipshit? Loved it. Loved it. Austin is so incredible. And, yeah, I mean, Luke is one of the top guys, but as an ego the size of, you know, Texas, and needed to be knocked down a peg because he's actually at a developmental point where he thinks he knows everything, and people are kind of showing him up now because they're working harder than he is. And if he doesn't cut that the fuck out, you know, he's going to get eliminated pretty soon. So it was just like a wake-up call, bottom three, but much appreciated from my end because I can't fucking stand the guy. And, oh, meanwhile, in the last 3 weeks, Jeremiah and Martin have passed him in the developmental stages. So there's nothing I hate more than undeserved ego. Really,
yeah,
annoying.
And that was the one thing I was going to mention is that from the week before, you could really see him getting all pissy about the competition the week before. He got all pissy when he got booted out before someone else.
Yep.
And it's just like, oh, okay, I see this one coming. And then the last time you and I did a show, we were talking about those guys that they get the lead too early.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm the favorite. And then they sit there. It's the classic tortoise in the tortoise in the hare kind of story where you start reading your own press and it goes to your head. I really don't think he's going to win. I think he fucked up. And yeah, so, and Christina had a great point, actually, when she was making a case for herself against Luke, said that Luke wouldn't fit in the locker room. And I just pictured Luke pulling that attitude shit with, like, The Undertaker, you know? That'd be the last you see of old Luke, you know?
Yeah, well, and that is always a bad plan, too, to challenge the host of the show that you are trying to win.
Yeah, very, very stupid.
So, yeah, even before we get to the whole what happens in the locker room, like, you're trying to mainly impress one guy.
Right.
And you're pissing him off. That does not sound like the best plan to me.
Right. And it's funny, this isn't pissed off Austin hosting this show. This is like summer camp Austin. So, you know, Luke really went out of his way to get Austin back to anger management level, you know? So.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, because even when he's ripping on people, he just seems to be doing it with a big smile on his face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. This has just been spectacular. Television watching Austin interacting with these people. Love it. I can't say enough about it.
Yeah, no, he's been a riot. I guess that's another thing that I can talk about, because, yeah, he's just been gold.
Mm-hmm, yep. And it's Bill DeMott, of all people, has been pretty funny, too, so. Didn't expect
yeah.
that.
No, but they always he always had some dumb gimmick.
Yeah, true.
And maybe they're just like, hey, you know what, just be the trainer, dude. Like, that's
right.
All we need you for. So he can just kind of act more like himself instead
yeah,
of
sure.
Hugh Morris.
General Rection.
Yeah, you can't really go too many places with these names and these gimmicks. I'm sorry, like you can try to spit shine shit, but it's still shit.
Yep. I love how, like, I think it was last week or the week before, like when they were doing the roller skating thing at the restaurant.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear by his reaction that they just told Bill show up at this restaurant and didn't give him any details. And then so they got his genuine reaction to seeing them, like, skating around. That was kind of neat, you know?
So. Yeah, no, because he goes, oh, you can tell this is one of Trish's ideas. Or he said something along
yeah, exactly.
those lines.
Yeah, exactly.
He played nice with Trish, but you could tell that he was not exactly impressed with the idea.
No, exactly. So yeah, I guess that's the main point I wanted to make. This is really entertaining television. And, yeah, love the Luke dressing down, and I agreed with skid marks getting eliminated. You can't be in the bottom three out of five times and expect to still be in there. That's, you know.
Yeah, no, that was, they've done that now the last 2 weeks. Rima was in the bottom three for 3 weeks,
yep.
and they're like, okay.
Yep.
No, that's it. And then skid marks grabbed it too. And honestly, like, he probably could have been in the bottom 3-4 weeks in a row, but they decided, okay, you know what, Rima, you're just not cut out for this last week.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, no, he might have been spared some pain. That might have really been his fourth strike.
Yeah, good call. So,
he got the foul pitch off.
Clearly not good enough to win the show. And so, yeah, even though Christina could have been justifiably gotten rid of as well because she can't even fucking jump. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, that is one that I got to see in the previews. It's just like, wow.
She just lifted her leg. Unreal. Even
yeah,
I can jump.
You should at least be able to get, like, up to the middle rope or something. Like, it's not that far up.
Yeah.
Like, if you basically barely get off your feet and raise your legs sideways, you should be able to hit second rope area.
I would hope, yeah.
Oh, but yeah, neither of those women are winning that contest.
No, there's absolutely no way in this lifetime that either of them will win. And it's really just kind of down to, I don't know, Luke, Martin, Jeremiah, maybe Andy? Andy's not really better than any of those other guys either, so not him.
Okay, I was going to say, did he do any, because he did seem like he improved the previous week, but...
Yeah, he's just not good enough.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting a little bit better, but, you know, like, he's not better than Martin or Jeremiah or Luke yet, so, and we're getting into where the show's almost done already, you know, halfway, so.
Yeah, did they say if they're going to have two or three people in the final?
I don't know if they said.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, some of those shows, they do the just the two people, some of them, they do the three, so I don't know.
Right, yeah. Not sure.
Well, we shall find out another time.
Yeah, you gotta stay tuned! Never know what'll happen.
And speaking of stay tuned, I am gonna go grab my, today it's sippy time wine.
Ooh.
Yeah, I had some Italian food for dinner, so I went with the wine.
Nice.
So my sippy time wine is waiting for me, so I am out. Have fun, Mr. Dusty,
with the
outro.
Well, this was the Pinky Out edition of Stunned Granny Audio, and for Jeremy's wooden teeth and Eric's dance lessons and Kevin's wine, I am Dusty Giebink, and we will do better next time. Sure, no problem.
Cool. Yeah, I'll send him a text and tell him that if he doesn't do that, I'll have him get something USA themed.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Oh
man, if he can do team, that's what we should do.
Team America. Yes.
Okay,
we thought of it at the same time, yeah.
Outstanding. Okie dokie. Yep, I'll make that revision when I start typing my text here.
All right, Hollywood.